within the sound of your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the Saturday Dope Special. We're going to have a lot of fun today. And actually, it's about time there was some sense spoken about marijuana here by the big shots in the legislature. So maybe we'll find out about that.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Calling all lazy potheads, calling all productive potheads, and calling all non-potheads. Together, that means everybody. We want to talk about the Tax-Regulated Control Cannabis Act on the November 2010 California ballot. The measure would repeal all state and local laws that criminalize marijuana. It would also raise over $1 billion annually to help cash-strapped California flush even more money down the toilet to serve illegal aliens. But never mind that. I think the idea is most intriguing because it's always been idiotic that alcohol should be legal while pot, which causes much less harm to society, should be illegal. Finally, there is a California legislator who has grabbed hold of this incongruity and is running with it. Wouldn't it be only right, if not wonderful, that smoking pot be treated much like drinking alcohol and smoking tobacco? Sure, there are two sides to this issue, but this is such a no-brainer that I expect it will be difficult to find anyone to represent the opposing viewpoint. Legalize and tax the hell out of pot, yay or nay. Our topic on the next KSCO special, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Imagine What Your Favorite Radio Station Would Be Like If All Its Personalities Were Stoned on the Air Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. It was total entertainment to watch the look on the face of the guests today. Bruce Merkin, welcome back to KSCO.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to finally meet you in person. I've been with you on the phone a couple times,
yeah,
but this is the first time I've been here live.
Well, thanks for driving all the way down from San Francisco. Did you come on the coast or did you come on 280?
I came down the 280, but I'm going to go back up the coast.
Yeah, I think I'll do that too this afternoon. It just feels like a coast sort of day, huh?
Yeah, and it's a nice drive up the coast.
Bruce, forgive me. Tell me the name of your organization. You have been on a number of times with us in the past. Most recently on this same subject, at the end of February, I believe.
Sounds right. The organization, and by the way, there will be a quiz later, Michael.
Good. I'm going to write it down.
It's the Marijuana Policy Project, which people can find online at mpp.org.
Okay.
And for better or for worse, my official title is Director of Communications.
Okay. Now, the organization has been around for a while, right?
Since 1995, so we're closing in on our 15th anniversary.
Ooh,
next year.
That's really neat. Now, tell us how and why it was started. It was right about the time when the vote, or maybe it had something to do with the original vote about semi-legalizing pot. Am I right?
Well,
in California?
It actually started in Washington, D.C., which is where our main office still is, by a couple guys who'd been working in other organizations and basically thought there was a need for a really solid professional advocacy and lobbying organization that dealt strictly with marijuana policy that would try to seriously get something done. And they started MPP literally in somebody's bedroom on their home computer, with no budget. And gradually built it up to the point where we are now the largest marijuana policy reform organization in the U.S.
How large is the paid staff?
It's just changed a little bit lately. It's somewhere around 34, 35, give or take a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Of which there are about five or six of us in California, most in Washington, D.C., and a couple scattered in other places.
Am I right that it's only this year that State Assemblyman Tom Amiano or anybody has suggested a total legalization of marijuana to provide a tax revenue that's desperately needed by the state?
Right. This is the first time that anything has been certainly introduced concretely in the legislature. And you're right, Tom Amiano, a state assembly member from San Francisco, introduced a bill earlier this year called AB 390, which would put marijuana under essentially the same regulatory framework as alcoholic beverages.
What's the status of that bill?
Well, it's been introduced. It's been assigned to a committee. Assemblymember Amiano has decided as a deliberate legislative tactic to take it a little bit slowly, not push for an immediate hearing. We've got two-year sessions in California, so he's going to hold it over till the fall at least and try and build some support. You know, the honest truth is, while you and I may think this makes a great deal of sense, politicians, by and large, are still freaked out by any notion of being, quote-unquote, soft on drugs. Mm-hmm. And there's an education process that's needed to get people on board.
Okay, now, your organization is carrying the torch for that education process, obviously.
Well, we're doing what we can.
And what are you doing?
Well, as some of your listeners may have heard, we had a TV ad on the air around California a little over a week ago. Took some doing because some stations turned us down and refused to play it, although we did get it on the air in all the cities we intended to eventually, which talks about the budget cuts that we're facing in this budget debacle the state is facing right now. And most of the ad is devoted to an actual California marijuana consumer, Nadine Herndon, who lives in Fair Oaks near Sacramento, mm-hmm. who just looks at the camera basically and says, you know, while we're looking at all these horrible budget cuts, there are millions of California marijuana consumers who want to pay taxes, who would like to do our fair share, pay taxes on our purchases, and we can't do it right now. Instead, we're treated like criminals for choosing to use a substance that's safer than alcohol.
What a great ad. Is it on YouTube somewhere for people to go look?
Yes, and it is on YouTube, and right now we've got a link to it on our homepage, again, mpp.org. There's a little box right at the top of the page, and you can click through and listen to it right there.
Great. Okay, now, where does the funding come to buy the TV ads?
We are supported entirely by our members. Private donations. We obviously don't get any government grants. The government doesn't much agree with us. So we're supported by the people who believe in that cause.
And you don't think there's any softening going on in the government now, really?
Well, I think there are hints of it. I mean, the fact that we've seen legislation introduced is a major step. The governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, although he hasn't endorsed it, has come out and said this is a discussion that the state should have. And even that is a pretty dramatic step for a mainstream, relatively middle-of-the-road politician. And there's been hints of that around the country, too. A senator from Virginia named Jim Webb has been fairly outspoken. Again, a sort of centrist Democrat, not either a wild-eyed radical lefty or the libertarian conservatives, which is where usually people are willing to stick their necks out on this.
Mm-hmm. I've just never been able to understand why pot has been illegal in the first place when the others are not. Can you explain that to me?
Well,
it just makes no sense.
I can't make it make sense for you because I don't think it does make sense. There is some history that goes back to the early part of the last century where a lot of hysteria was whipped up. Some of it, frankly, by people who used to be enforcing alcohol prohibition in the 1920s who were being put out of work when that was repealed and needing something else to scare people about. A lot of the early anti-marijuana propaganda was almost unbelievably racist, directed at...
Really?
The term marijuana was not used until the 20s and 30s. It was referred to by its proper...
cannabis.
Cannabis. Marijuana was Mexican slang. It was used to deliberately associate it with Mexican immigrants. The other element of this was another group that used it was African-American jazz musicians. And you can actually go back and find records of, for example, a Texas state senator arguing for the Texas state ban on marijuana, saying on the floor of the Texas Senate that all Mexicans are crazy and this stuff is what makes them crazy.
Come on.
I honest to God, you know, that was an era where you could say things like that and it wouldn't, you know, there was no YouTube. It wouldn't necessarily get you voted out of office.
Wow. Unbelievable. Okay, so that was when?
That was the 20s and 30s. The first federal ban was passed in 1937. At that point, a lot of states had already enacted state-level bans on marijuana. And, you know, the next time it got a whole lot of attention was really in the 60s.
What happened then? Why?
Well, it started to become popular, you know, first among, quote-unquote, beatniks, and then, you know, college kids in general. It became associated with youthful rebellion, the anti-war protests, and it acquired a certain amount of cultural baggage, if you will. It became associated, it became part of the whole collection of culture war stuff that has to some degree haunted our culture ever since then.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and special guest Bruce Merkin from the Marijuana Policy Project, MPP.org on the web. We're going to open up the phone lines fairly soon. Want to see if we can do a little experiment. We always give preference to first-time callers or people who have not called the radio station before. And we want to do that, but I don't say that. It's just sort of understood, and that's what we practice here at the station. Certainly I do on my program. And we want to sort of freshen the program today if we can and give people who have never called before who might have an issue with this. I'd be particularly interested in people who are against who are in favor of keeping the status quo, actually, because to me it makes no sense at all. Maybe you can get me to understand something that I just don't understand. Our phone numbers for your participation is 479-1080. We have a bunch of lines connected to that single line, so that's all you have to remember. 479-1080. If you're outside the 831 area code, you'll have to dial 831. Again, 479-1080. If you want to send a email, my email address is mz@ksco.com. During the program, I'll have the email open, and I should see your email, so there's a good chance it'll be read on the air. And so participate either way. If you want to send us a fax, you can do that too. Our fax number is 475-2967. If you send a fax, give us a call at 475-1080, our regular business line, and tell Nikki that you've sent a fax so she'll be on the lookout for it up in the front office. So let's take our first caller. Okay, well, we don't hear from the traffic lackey all that often, but we will today. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good. How are you, traffic lackey?
Hey, I want to tell you there was an earthquake in Mexico, Michael.
Okay.
50,000 dead. England's going to send money. France is going to send food. And the U.S. is going to send replacement Mexicans, Michael.
You're making a joke.
Yes, Michael.
Okay. Now, what does this have to do with the program today, which I figured you would be interested in?
Well, he said he talked about, a lot of the anti-marijuana campaign was directed at Mexicans. And, you know, the lackey's a Mexican, Michael.
I know.
You know, so I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay.
Well, you know, hey, Mike.
Yeah.
So how many phone calls are you thinking to get on this today?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Mike.
Okay,
hey,
thank
good
you.
Luck with that.
Bye. There goes the traffic lackey. Yeah.
You got an interesting set of callers here, Mike. Geez.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a good call, but it was a senseless call. Lewis in Watsonville, you're on the Saturday special.
Yeah, hi. I just thinking, who's going to grow the marijuana? I mean, if it's going to be legal, anyone can grow it. Who's going to pay the taxes?
Well, how will that work?
Well, it'll be regulated very much like we regulate producers of beer, wine, and liquor. The growers would need to be licensed by the state. They would be registered, licensed, pay taxes like other businesses pay. And so what would happen eventually is that the illegal criminal growers that are dominating the business right now would be crowded out of the market, just like when we repealed the prohibition of alcohol in 1933. The bootleggers were put out of business, and they were replaced by legitimate businesses like Anheuser-Busch and Miller and Ernest and Julio Gallo and all those folks.
Yeah, but, to make wine and beer is more difficult than to grow a plant for your own use.
Well, that's true. So?
Anybody can grow for their own use, so nobody's going to pay no taxes.
Well, everybody can grow their own tomatoes, too, but most people buy them.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just want to...
Now, Lewis, yeah, Bruce makes a lot of sense, doesn't he?
Because it's easy to grow a plant.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can grow it indoors, not like tomatoes.
Right.
I'm a grower, and
Do you grow pot now?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you telling the truth?
Yep.
Okay.
No.
Prove it.
No, I haven't yet. I grow strawberries.
Okay.
People can grow their own strawberries, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I bet a fair number of people buy your strawberries instead of growing their own.
Yeah, but if you grow a plant, it doesn't take that much room and doesn't take much bag or nothing. With a plant, you can have marijuana for the whole year.
Not with one plant.
Depends how much you smoke.
That's just what I was going to say. Hey, Lewis, thank you very much for calling the Saturday special. Appreciate that.
You
take care.
You got a good program.
Thank you. Here's Jim in Los Gatos. Jim, welcome to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, isn't it? KSCO.
Good morning. Yes, it is my favorite radio station.
Oh, good. So what do you got to say on this topic, Jim in Los Gatos?
Well, I'm confused about how it all works. I mean, the taxes are going to be great and everything. It might bring in another $1 billion to our state, but that certainly isn't going to keep the independent farmers from growing their own or having an underground economy. I mean, there are still a lot of people that paid from the revenuers making moonshine, even when there wasn't a prohibition. The other question is, though, how is it going to work if California does it alone? I remember when I was living in New Jersey and New York had an 18-year-old drinking age, there was a huge cross-border flow of traffic. How is California going to do this by itself? It's just going to be a rampant abuse of it.
Well, that's a valid concern, and I think in reality, what's going to happen is this is going to happen nationally sooner or later, and it's going to start from the states. I mean, it is simply a fact.
We are trendsetter.
Yeah, we are. You know, good and bad. You go back to the property tax revolt and Prop 13 to medical marijuana in 1996. California is usually the place that goes first, and typically the rest of the country follows. And
look what the federal government did on the 18-year-old drinking age. They passed the 18-year-old drinking age. The federal government came in heavy-handed and said, we're taking away your highway money once you reach 21.
Well, federal law is not chiseled in stone. It wasn't handed down on granite tablets to Moses. This notion that we can't change our laws because the government won't like it, where are we, North Korea? The fact is that federal laws do change. We now, for example, we had this exact same situation when we passed medical marijuana in California in 1996. We now have an administration in Washington that says it's going to leave that activity alone as long as it's following state law. The states will drag the feds kicking and screaming into the 21st century on this.
The unintended consequences of the medical marijuana passage is that my opinion, I regret that I ever voted for that. I found that it has not promoted, in my opinion, legitimate and research into marijuana or legitimate medical use of it, and it's opened the door to abuse. And I regret that.
Okay, Los Gatos, Jim, we have you on longer, except you're cell phone reception is horrid.
But I do want to respond to that last thing that Jim said, though, because it's important. And, I'm sorry that he feels that way. I have personal friends living with AIDS who are literally alive today because of medical marijuana and because of Prop 215. And as far as it not having promoted research, in fact, it is directly responsible for a number of studies done at the University of California, the San Francisco campus, and San Diego and Davis, which have demonstrated in randomized, placebo-controlled, peer-reviewed trials that marijuana is effective for neuropathic pain and other symptoms for which there are no good treatments. So, have there been some abuses here and there? Yeah, but it has literally saved lives and saved people's health.
Jim, if that's the truth, do you believe that that's the truth, what Bruce just said?
I don't know, and I certainly am open to any kind of evidence one way or the other. The only evidence I use is the anecdotal, where I see that everybody that I know that has been on medical marijuana got put on medical marijuana for life. It was never a treatment program in order to get them through something. These people have been put on it and have stayed on it with no intention of ever getting off of it.
Okay, well, I suppose we had to get into this today, but that's not really the topic. Can I glean from that, Los Gatos, Jim, that you are against the notion of legalization and taxing the hell out of marijuana?
Well, once again, I am completely open to the arguments for it. However, I just caution we need to go into this with eyes wide open. This is not a panacea. It's not going to stop the illegal growing. It will definitely take a good chunk out of the Mexican criminal cartel, which is growing marijuana up in our forests up here, but it's not going to solve all the problems of the world. I do encourage that we investigate it, have a good argument about it, and vote wisely on it.
Okay. Many thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Mel in Santa Cruz, you're next on the program.
Hi. I have no objection to marijuana being legalized. My problem with it is that people are allowed to smoke it in no smoking areas. For instance, people that have licenses to smoke it. For instance, in the building I live in, you cannot smoke. However, two doors down the hall, there's someone who's allowed to smoke marijuana, and he's allowed to smoke it in the building. So if you can smoke or you cannot smoke, it doesn't seem to me that it's a matter of what you're smoking. But people with licenses to smoke marijuana are smoking them in non-smoking places. And marijuana, for instance, is very bad for me. It's very good for some people. It's very bad for me, and I don't like getting up in the morning smelling it in the whole building.
Sure. Mel, what about the topic of the program, the prospect of full legalization of it and taxing of it?
Absolutely. But it's silly not to tax it.
Okay.
It's good.
I'm particularly interested in someone who vehemently feels that it's not a good idea to have it legal and not a good idea to tax it. I wonder if we're going to get a single phone call from that. Mel, I want to thank you for your phone call. Billy in Watsonville, welcome to the Saturday special.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I just love all you guys. You guys are a great station and do us all.
We should keep you on for the rest of the program.
Yeah, this is fine. In fact, I'll grab my mandolin and play a few tunes while I'm walking along, riding along. I wanted to relate and a personal experience I had. You know, I used to smoke pot in the 60s and the 70s, and then it got to be where it wasn't so fun anymore, and it was more of something that I was doing as a habit, and I didn't like it, so I quit smoking. And then in November of 07, I had a really nasty leg break. I had a tibia plateau fracture. I was laid up. I had to keep my leg above my heart for like 8 weeks, and I was prescribed a drug called Norco, which is very strong and very addictive. And about, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks into it, I was strung out on it. I mean, I could recognize it. I mean, it wasn't like radical, but so I wanted to get off it. And so a friend of mine brought me some weed that he grows. He's got a license to do it, and he grows it up in his house, and it's really strong. And I never noticed marijuana. I've never used marijuana as a pain suppressant, but I'll be darned if that's exactly what it did. You know, I stopped using the Norco and was smoking the weed again, and it really helped. I was
in light of that, yeah, Billy, I just can't believe that there's anybody out there who would be so cruel as to deny marijuana, at least to people who have a medical need for it. But why not for everybody? Or why not make tobacco illegal or make booze illegal?
Yeah,
together they do. There's no question they do more destructive. There's more destruction to society from both of those substances than from marijuana. It does not make sense.
Yeah, at one point in my life I was all over it ought to be legal. Now I'm a bit more ambivalent, just from the standpoint of, do we really need more in the mix overall? You know what I mean?
What about consistency?
I hear that.
Shouldn't it be all or nothing? That's what I think.
I hear that. I mean, you know,
do you disagree with that?
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
I mean, so, but thanks a lot,
that,
man.
That together with a compliment at the beginning just makes me very happy.
All right, well, keep up the good work, Michael. You're the best.
Appreciate it, Billy. You take care.
All right, bye.
Okay, John and Salinas. By the way, give us a call at 479-1080. Preference will be given to new callers. We love the regular callers, but we want to do a little experiment and see if we can get some new callers this time. We've gotten some already. John and Salinas, are you a new caller?
I am.
Bless you.
Let me tell you that, I mean, I think that you can line up many people to give their anecdotal stories and very valid reasons why legalization should be considered. But in order to overcome this obstacle, the inertia of it, you need to consider reasons why it would be opposed, such as, one, can't really tell, different from alcohol, just how much is in a person's system. Basically, they can tell whether it is or it
oh,
isn't.
Is that true? There's no test that's for cannabis content in your blood?
And further, what is the level that impacts people? They don't really have a certain like threshold, like the 0.08 for alcohol is just they consider that you're intoxicated at that point. The other things are religious things. The consideration that this has been at least propagandized as a gateway drug that leads people down a path. Also productivity. If you're out smoking pot as a constant recreation, you may have great ideas, but many times those just go with the wind and the smoke, and productivity is bad. So, I mean, there's a variety of reasons, and if these people want to move forward on this, they're going to have to address what the opposition is concerned about.
Well, we've been answering all those stuff. You got half an hour?
I'm going to listen to the entire program, and I wish you well on this, but, you know, you got to do some positive social norming here with some good data, or you'll find it very hard to prevail.
Well, there's lots of data. And, you know, to take your first point first, and Michael will, I'm sure, cue me if I forget something important you brought up. But the question of driving is one that comes up a lot, and it's one that we need to address. I mean, first of all, I got news for you. There isn't a reliable test that tells you whether you're too drunk to drive or not. The California Supreme Court just found a couple of weeks ago that the breathalyzer test is not reliable, that a 0.08 does not mean you're necessarily intoxicated. You now have the legal right in California to challenge that. The fact is, none of these tests are perfect. There are tests that exist for marijuana. They're not perfect either. But there is a very good, very effective tool that police have had for decades. It's called the field sobriety test. It's where they make you, you know, touch your finger and do all that stuff. Marijuana affects that just like alcohol does. So, in fact, they can tell if you're intoxicated. And here's something else to bear in mind. Every day, millions and millions of Americans take drugs that you shouldn't use while you're driving. Antihistamines, sedatives, pain pills, all sorts of stuff. And there are no roadside tests for any of those things. We don't ban them because of that. We just ask people to use some common sense. And if somebody is driving recklessly, we haul them in, as we should.
Does that make sense, John and Salinas?
Well, it's an apologia, but, I mean, it doesn't really address some of the substantive issues.
Right.
But I do appreciate the topic, and continue on. I'll listen.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. I believe that there is no lower whale turd at the bottom of the ocean than a drunk driver. I really do. I feel very, very strongly about that. So people might think it's a little incongruous that I feel strongly that marijuana should be legal. It's not incongruous at all. It's my belief. It's my belief that marijuana does not affect a person's, does not impair a person's driving ability like alcohol does. I understand that could be a controversial statement.
Well,
okay?
Can I say something based
on
your commercial?
Sure.
When I was listening to it this morning, when you said, you know, people come into work stoned and everything.
No,
well,
I didn't say that. I said imagine what it
would
be.
Oh, imagine, right. Okay. So you wouldn't allow an employee to come to work every day drunk, right?
Correct.
So, you know, you drink after work, everyone happy hour, whatever. And that's, I think that's, it's the same concept with pot. You know, it, or it should be, it, there's a big correlation to that. It's like, you know, you hire someone and say, here's the rules. You're not allowed to get drunk at work. You're not sure. allowed to smoke pot at work. You know, whatever. You know what I mean?
That's fine. Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. It's like, it's just the same.
Well, absolutely. With all of these substances, people have a responsibility to not be stupid and not be reckless and not put other people in danger. And if you do, we are all in favor of throwing the book at you. And to get back to the specific issue of driving, Michael, you're right that the data suggests that marijuana is less bad for driving than alcohol, primarily because it doesn't make people reckless and aggressive and crazy the way booze does.
Yeah.
People who are stoned on marijuana tend to be more aware of their impairment, and they tend to try to compensate. That said, you shouldn't drive while you're high on marijuana, and if you do, I have no problem with you being put in jail for a good long time.
Uh-huh. Good. Next caller, Kim in Seaside. Thanks for waiting to be on the Saturday special. You're on, Kim.
Hi, Mike. Kudos to Kay. I've always been a listener for many, many years, and the silent majority is still out here. Anyway, I wanted to ask you a history question. They used to grow hemp during World War II, and then it was banned along with the marijuana. Do you understand the connection between hemp and marijuana? I don't.
I just know that it's a very strong connection. That's a great question that to bring up in this program.
And you can make paper out of it. You can make rope out of it.
I met a guy down at the Sash Mill who has a business just recently that manufactures hemp clothing.
Uh-huh. It's excellent.
And we've got to get him on the program. It'd be a wonderful topic.
Well, it has alkaloids in it, which means that's why they used to use it for ropes, because it doesn't rot. And it's very strong, and it grows amazing. It's as fast growing as hops. And anyway, I'll listen on the radio what the connection is. I don't know.
Bruce, help us out with that.
Sure.
Please.
Hemp is basically the non-psychoactive variety of marijuana. It's got so little THC in it that it would have no effect on you as a drug.
THC is the component, tetrahydrocannabinol,
right.
the component in cannabis or pot or marijuana that makes you high.
Exactly.
So hemp is a cousin to marijuana, would you say? Is that a correct
Yeah, it's a variant of the same species, you know, in the same way that a Chihuahua and a Rottweiler are both dogs, you know, they're both varieties of the cannabis plant, but the hemp has so little THC that it's irrelevant as a drug. But as the caller said, it's a really useful plant in a lot of ways. The fiber can be used for paper, rope, clothing. I actually have a couple of hemp shirts, and they last forever. And the oil too has lots of good stuff, you know, in terms of beneficial fats in it and stuff. So it's a product that has been suppressed along with marijuana in this country, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. However you feel about marijuana,
right? I like them both. Anyhow, next fall.
Don't
fall.
Smoke the hemp. It won't do anything
oh, really?
But hurt your throat, not get you anywhere.
No, I want to wear the hemp. I want to wear the marijuana and smoke the hemp. No, it's the reverse.
to each his own.
Yeah, okay, fine. Wendy and Felton, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on.
Thank you. I understand that Ron Paul is advocating the decriminalization of drugs, not the legalization. I would like to understand what the difference is between those two terms.
Well, I certainly can't speak for Ron Paul. I'll let him speak for himself as far as what exactly he would propose. The term decriminalization most commonly is referred to systems where possession is not treated as a crime. It may be a traffic ticket, but it's not something that gets you arrested and jailed. But manufacture, distribution, and sales are still criminal. And there are about a dozen states that have systems like that in this country. The problem with it, from my point of view, is while it at least spares the user from having a criminal record and going through all of that possibility of being jailed, etc., it leaves the business in the hands of unregulated criminals. So you have still all of the problems that we have now with this huge but unregulated marijuana trade. Not just the tax issue that we were talking about before, but every year here in California, we read about environmental damage done by clandestine marijuana farms hidden in remote corners of national parks, national forests, etc. It is a huge problem, and it's entirely a creation of prohibition. There's a reason these guys aren't planting vineyards up there.
Now that makes sense. So, Wendy, what? That take care of it for you?
Well, and so... I suppose, although I'm not, still not understanding.
Wendy's having a hard time.
Why,
you didn't do a good job, Bruce.
Why would decriminalization be a good thing, but legalization not a good thing?
Well, you know, I suppose that's a matter of opinion, and that's not my opinion. I think that. Decriminalization is a modest step towards sanity because it doesn't criminalize the users. But I think what we need to do is take this, what is, whether you like it or not, a very large industry in California and around the country, and bring it under the same sort of reasonable controls we have for beer, wine, and liquor. And understanding that that system is not perfect and no system created by human beings ever will be exactly perfect, but it's sure better than what we got now.
Yeah.
And so then the federal police would not be involved in decriminalization, well, in legalization. Federal police are not involved in legalization, so which is a big police job right now.
There's police involved probably at all levels in trying to enforce marijuana laws, federal, state, and local. You could imagine a number of different models. You could have a model, for example, where the federal government simply sort of gets out of the whole field and lets the states do what they choose. You know, that may be one way to go temporarily to see how different models work out. We have a somewhat similar situation like that with alcohol, where most of the alcohol regulation is done on the state level. There's a little bit of federal involvement, but not very much.
Okay, Wendy, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Here's Trucker Tom in Arkansas. Trucker Tom, welcome to KSCO.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's been a while. You're on the road these days or furloughed these days?
I went back to work a couple of days ago, but I got to come through home, so
uh-huh.
Home for the weekend.
Well, that's great. What are your thoughts about marijuana legalization, Trucker Tom?
Well, gosh, I really don't have a dog in the fight for whether it should be legal or illegal. But what I was, I was listening to you guys talk. The thing, if you look back at the prohibition of alcohol, that lasted for 13 years. It turned out to be a huge mistake. And then once the mistake was rectified and it was legalized again, we ended up with this mafia. The illegal people had gotten into the moonshine business and that period kind of created a scourge. Now, I'm wondering what will, if, let's say that it's legalized in California or legalized nationwide, marijuana, what happens to the people that are already illegally producing it and distributing it? What are they going to move into next?
Let's ask Bruce to check his crystal ball.
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball. We can, I think, use alcohol as something of a model. What happened, of course, with the bootleggers in Prohibition is they were put out of the alcohol business, and organized crime did shrink. It didn't go away. Some of them got into other stuff. But right now, we are financing organized crime to the tune of literally tens of billions of dollars a year by handing them the marijuana trade. Taking it away from them won't solve every problem by any means, but it will shrink the problem.
Okay. Yeah, it's just interesting, to kind of think about that. But when they instituted alcohol prohibition, they actually gave the mafia, illegal, you know, the people that got involved with it, they actually gave them a foothold in many cases. You know, if you go back and study the history of it. So there's some interesting parallels there.
So it could be a foothold drug, is what you're arguing, possibly.
Well, yeah.
The act of legalization.
By making it illegal, you know, by making the alcohol illegal, we gave the mafia a kind of a foothold into the country, and they never did really go away. You know, we legalized alcohol again, but then they just turned to other things. You know, they didn't go away. And so I'm wondering, you know, they're still going to be there, and maybe there's some of them that are involved. You know, there's a tremendous amount of, tremendous number of people that are involved in the illegal production and distribution of marijuana. We take that away from them, they're, you know, it may make them shrink or it may make their business suffer. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they, if this ever does take place.
For sure.
If they ever legalized, it'll be interesting to see what they'll turn to next in order to try to replace their business.
I'm going to give a plug for your almost daily podcast now, Trucker Tom, right? You're still doing it, still going strong.
Still
this is Trucker Tom who learned about podcasting several years ago, and it got into his blood, and he hasn't been able to shake it. Got a lot to say about everything as he cruises the freeways hither and yon. And I'm telling you, truckerphoto.com, right? Is that that's the...
Yeah, they're just truckertompodcast.com.
Okay. Yeah, you can hear what Tom thinks about just about everything.
Just type Trucker Tom into Google, and you'll get, it'll come right up.
Great. Hey, appreciate your call to the Saturday Special, Tom. Have a good one.
Yeah, Michael. Call me later.
Yes, sir. Okay, take care. Here's Matt in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Saturday Special, Matt. You're on.
Hi there, Michael.
Hey.
Hey, so I would just have to say that I think we should be careful what we wish for, because if marijuana is made legal, the corporations will come in and start producing it, and, you know, it's not really the mafia that's producing the marijuana that's being smoked in California. It's hippies in Mendocino and hippies right down the street from you. And this is something that people, you know, your buddy can get, you know, $800 together and get a little setup going and, you know, supplement his income, possibly, you know, be able to buy a, you know, make a house payment or do something nice. His kid moves out and goes to college and
wouldn't
grow
that,
a little
that
weed.
That would be wonderful.
And you won't find that if the corporations take over.
You know, I got to disagree with that. I mean, first of all,
yeah, so do
you're absolutely right that there are little, you know, mom and pop marijuana growers out there, particularly in some of the coastal areas of Northern California. But in fact, the bulk of the large scale marijuana production and distribution in this country is controlled by much, much less savory characters, including some of these Mexican drug cartels who are really scary folks. And while, you know, in a capitalist society, you can't necessarily prevent, I don't know, Archer Daniels Midland or somebody from getting into the marijuana business if it's legal, there'll always be the mom and pop guys, just like the folks, who are selling organic strawberries at the farmer's market in San Francisco that I go to every Saturday.
Yeah, but those people, how much money do they really make? Whereas you can make a good living growing weed these days. And I don't know what weed you're smoking, but the weed that I'm smoking, people know where it comes from. And you can, you know, it's from people that I know and people around. And it's good
stuff.
No one
trusts, right?
And another thing is with a corporation, when have you ever got an organic product, you know, like with tobacco? You have to go out, pace through the nose for American Spirit if you don't want additives and all kinds of crap in your tobacco that you smoke. And I don't know. I just think it would be a mixed blessing, and that's all I got.
Well, everything in life is a mixed blessing. But the vast majority of marijuana sold in this country is not organic, grown by little mom-and-pop farmers in Humboldt County. It's just not.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt, how can we thank you for calling the Saturday Special?
Mail me an ounce of bud. I'm just kidding.
Good. All right. I asked for that. Thanks very much. 479-1080, if you want to call the Saturday special, I'd love to hear from you. It's about time to do a commercial break, right, Nikki? Why don't you make that happen? And we will be back right after this.
Sensuous and enchanting Mediterranean dining in Scots Valley. Hi, I'm Aldina, owner of In Vino Veritas. It is our intention for your dining experience to be exceptional. We live life with passion and believe you will taste the difference in our food.
Hi, this is Rock. Join us at In Vino Veritas for dining all day and evening entertainment. Wednesdays, there is wine tasting. Thursdays and Fridays, we offer half-price wine and hors d'oeuvres. And on Thursdays, we offer complimentary acoustic rock music.
Experience passion for life and food at In Vino Veritas Mediterranean Restaurant. For breakfast, lunch, or dinner, In Vino Veritas is located in King's Village behind Nob Hill in Scotts Valley. Call 831-461-0851. 831-461-0851.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality, and service that doesn't always cost you more.
My name is Chris, and I shop at Scotts Valley Market for the sandwich deli and the hot food buffet. I come here probably two or three times a week for lunches. Well, actually, I live in Santa Cruz. I only work here, so most of the time it's mostly just lunches. I'm getting the BLT. That's a good one. I like the hot sandwiches. Usually I get the pesto chicken breast or the tri-tip sandwich are really great.
My name is Cindy Ames. I shop at Ben Lomond Market because they have amazing produce, great meat. They have an amazing deli department. Lots of good things to eat.
Scotts Valley Market, Ben Lomond Market. Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. You don't always have to pay more for better service and quality. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
For 10 years, Ethric Networks has been bringing the fastest affordable internet access to the Monterey Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and Silicon Valley. For your home office, or business, ride the lightning bolt with Ethric Networks.
Hi, it's Bill Graff, KSCO's production and technical director. You know, for 15 years, I've had to put up with dial-up internet service at my house. Then one of my neighbors found Ethric Networks. Well, they came out, did a site survey of the neighborhood, and figured out a way to get high-speed internet to all of our neighbors. We are all phenomenally happy. It's blazing fast, it never drops out, and it's the same super fast speed up and down.
With speeds 10 to 100 times faster than T1 cable or DSL, Ethric Networks flies past the competition. Even in areas where you thought you were stuck with dial-up, you don't have to live with slow internet. Upgrade with Ethric Networks. Call 877-541-3905 or on the web, ethric.net.
This generation rules the nation with version. Music and super food of love. Songs to really make you rub and scrub.
I've never heard such bizarre bumper music.
Pass the dutchie pan the left hand side. Pass the dutchie pan the left hand side. It a go bun.
Give me the music, make me jump and bump.
It a go done.
Give me the music, make me jump and bump.
It was a cool and lonely breezy afternoon.
How does it feel when you got no food?
Do you have some pot, Nikki?
Do I have some?
You have some.
Here?
Answer honestly.
Oh, great. Yes, I do.
You do?
Not here. I don't bring it to work.
Here in town.
And you know what?
Here in town.
I want to get my medical card because I have some massive medical issues.
You're not tricking. I know you have a medical issue.
Yes, I have actually quite a few of them. So, yep, I do. I'll admit it. I've smoked a doobie before.
How many
haven't
times?
Haven't we all?
I have.
See?
And I inhaled.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Is there anybody out there who has not smoked?
Seriously, yeah.
Who has not smoked marijuana.
Especially in this area.
And who has not inhaled. And you, when I say smoke, I mean in and inhale.
And inhale, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anybody out there? 479-1080. Please call. I'm begging for a phone. I don't think there's anybody out there who would have the gall to say that I have never tried it and that it should continue to be illegal. That person, who I just can't believe that there would be such a person. But if there is, call 479-1080 and I will be courteous to you. I won't humiliate you on the air. I won't make you look bad. I will thank you for calling and adding that dimension to this program. Because I said in the promo, it's just a no-brainer to me. I can't imagine that there's anyone out there who could honestly feel that there should not be a legalization and taxation of marijuana. Okay, next one. We got 2 or 3 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's go to Anonymous in Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm two ways, anonymous and ambivalent. I don't smoke. When I was very young, I tried it a couple times, and I've never been against it being legalized. But recently, a relative actually got a prescription for it, and I'm becoming more disenchanted with it for the simple reason that, like, her house used to be clean. It's not. She sits around a lot. Her productivity is really down, down, down. And when she's out, she's in a horrible mood when she's run out. And so I'm kind of thinking, wow, I didn't realize it would really alter somebody so much.
So you think
that
if it's
ambivalent, if I'm not against legalizing it. You know,
I gotcha. And I'm not arguing with you, Anonymous. I just want to ask you the following question. Do you think if it becomes legal that your person will sink more into that stupor state?
I think she's pretty much done it.
That's what I would think, too.
But I'm just saying that she doesn't think anything of driving the car, you know, being stoned. I mean,
really?
No, I just see a total change in her personality.
Yeah.
And I never thought that could happen. And I feel about it right now like I do about abortion.
Oh.
I don't want one, but it's okay if you really need it, you know?
Right. I've made a terrible mistake, Anonymous. I've allowed this call and this program to eat into Fox News.
Oh, well, I'm off. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you for calling KSCO. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join Fox News in progress.
Space Lab. Both Democrats and Republicans talked health care in their weekly addresses. President Obama, who wants health care reform passed by Congress by the end of August, says Republican claims that health care reform is too expensive aren't true.
Their plan would increase spending by more than $2 trillion when fully implemented, and would, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, add additional costs onto an already unsustainable system.
And Senator John Kyle of Arizona spoke for the Republicans this week, saying that the plan is just too expensive. The Obama administration may be considering creating a unit of professional interrogators to handle high-value terror suspects. That's according to today's Wall Street Journal. That recommendation comes from a government task force, which was assigned to figure out the best way to question suspects. He signed on in 1962, and he signed off in 1981.
This is my last broadcast as the anchorman of the CBS Evening News. For me, it's a moment for which I long have planned, but which nevertheless comes with some sadness. For almost 2 decades, after all, we've been meeting like this in the evenings, and I'll miss that.
Longtime CBS Evening News anchor Walter Cronkite has died. He was 92 years old. Many baby boomers remember listening to him tell them that JFK had been shot. He was also renowned for announcing the moon landing. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Talk celebrates Woodstock plus 40. Let's welcome Mr. Richie Havens.
7 minutes after 5 p.m. on Friday, August 15th, 1969, Richie Havens kicked off the music of Woodstock. The first performer made history, but it was the unexpected hugeness of the event that gave Havens the unique extension.
Getting on the stage popped into my head first because I was supposed to be fifth, and I had to go on first, and it was one of those 2.5 hour late jobs already, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to walk out there, and they're going to throw beer cans at me, you know, because the concert's late. Of course, that wasn't what happened. Everybody was really dying for something to happen, and I was very fortunate to be first on stage to get to sing.
Freedom! Freedom!
Stay tuned for more Woodstock Plus 40 on Fox News Talk.
The nation's governors meeting in Mississippi. Well, some of them are meeting.
The nation's governors are meeting in Biloxi, but scheduling problems have prompted about half of them to stay at home, including some prominent Republicans. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour says while the GOP has lost the bully pulpit of the White House, this time presents the opportunity for many Republican voices to be heard.
Well, people have been hearing from the Bush administration for the last 8 years. Now they're starting to see some different Republicans, and that's helpful. It's useful.
Governor Barbour was initially scheduled to host the conference in 2006, but it had to be postponed due to the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Barbour sees this year's conference as an opportunity to show the nation how far his state has come. In Biloxi, Mississippi, Jonathan Seri, Fox News Radio.
California legislators say they're hoping to come up with a budget deal tomorrow. California is seriously in the red over $26 billion. Two U.S. airmen are dead after a fighter jet crashed in central Afghanistan. The Air Force says the jet wasn't shot down, but it doesn't know just what happened. In Indonesia, we're learning more about those two bombing attacks at two hotels.
Investigators say that they found a handwritten note, a cell phone, and a bomb-encased laptop inside of room 1808 in the Marriott Hotel. So far, we're hearing 8 people were killed. More than 50 people were injured, including 6 Americans, and most of those Americans were medevaced to Singapore.
Fox's Rena Ninen reporting, President Obama has called Indonesia's leader to express support. A man has settled with the Albany, New York Police Department for $125,000 after he says he was forcibly sedated. Trudy Clement was arrested in 2002. Cops took him to the hospital and had him sedated so they could do a complete body search. No drugs were found. But what really got Clement going was the $7,000 bill he got from the Albany Medical Center. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You were tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I got your Central Coast forecast for this weekend. We are going to be having sunny skies today, high of 78, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 58, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, we got cloudy early, then sunny skies in the afternoon with a high of 76, west northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Monterey Bay boaters forecast the west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 feet with a west swell of 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds and patchy morning fog. Tonight, west winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds and patchy fog with a slight chance of thunderstorms. On Sunday, the west winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 2 to 4 feet, 8 seconds, patchy fog and another slight chance of thunderstorms. Current temperatures 67 in Salinas, 65 degrees in Watsonville, 60 degrees in Monterey, 59 degrees in Santa Cruz outside KSCO studios. The official time 11:06 and 23 seconds on this Saturday, July 18th, 2009. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special pot smoking extravaganza.
Yeah. Nikki, I love your choice of bumper music. Oh, put it back up. Put it back up. Is this a karaoke?
Yeah, it's the karaoke version. Yeah.
I was just listening to Billie Jean by Michael Jackson this morning.
I love. He has some great music. He was very talented.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Let's let the rest play. How much longer is there?
It kind of just does this for a while. I could play the real one with the words.
Really?
Yeah. I'll find out while you guys start. While we're doing that, we've got
a bunch of people on waiting to go on here. Jill in Santa Cruz, Blank, Lane and Coralitos, and Mike and Ben Lomond. And actually, there are a couple lines open at 479-1080. But keeping to the format here, we really have a world premiere K's commentary. So without any further ado, how do you spell ado and what is ado? Huh? Do you know what ado is, Bruce?
I'm not with the spelling policy project. I don't know.
A-D-I-E-U? No, that's adieu.
That's the adieu. That's French.
All right, well, without any further ado, here is K's commentary. And to prove it, you'll hear Billy Big Voice.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
This 4th of July, once again, we celebrated the birth of our country. Actually, what we really did was just get together with our families and friends, picnicking, barbecuing, and enjoying the fireworks. This year, our freedom from Britain seems even more precious because now many of us sense that we may be losing the country and freedom that we love so much. For over two centuries, we Americans have been so dazzled by our amazing United States, we never took the time to wonder how our country really evolved. Have you ever wondered what happened to the courageous 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? And what they endured for us? 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolution Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They all signed and pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to create a new nation. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKeon was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of 8 other signers, and others suffered many hardships by the British before they died. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. So, fellow Americans, take a few minutes next 4th of July and silently thank these patriots. It's not much to ask for the price they paid, so that several generations after them could enjoy the freedom of our wonderful country. And ironically, as we speak, we find we must now fight to keep the freedom we have, which is in grave danger of being tampered with by our present leaders. Remember, freedom is never free. And kudos to my friend Judy DeVilbiss for reminding us what the 4th of July really means. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Coming soon, this just in, Mike in Ben Lomond has never smoked pot, and he is on the line waiting to go on the air with us. I can't wait to talk to Mike.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO.
But I made two promises to two independent people before we do that, so I want to keep those promises. First, to our special guest, Bruce Merkin from the Marijuana Policy Project, on the web at mpp.org. Last caller you wanted to respond. You want to bring us up to date on what,
yeah,
for those who don't remember, including me.
Yeah, the last caller talked about a friend who I gather had gotten a medical recommendation to use marijuana, and the person who called thought that she had fallen into a sort of dysfunctional pattern, that her personality had changed, et cetera, et cetera. And I would be the first to acknowledge that there are some people who do that, just as some people fall into dysfunctional patterns with alcohol or fast food or any number of things that may not be healthy for them. That said, the question, as we think about what our laws should be, is not, might you possibly do harm to yourself if you use this substance in a bad way? The question is using the criminal justice system and criminalizing everybody who uses it or possesses it, is that the best way to minimize that sort of thing? And I don't think there's any evidence to say that it is. You know, marijuana under prohibition, the federal government's own analysis shows that use increased by 4,000% in the decades after we banned the stuff. It's as common as dirt, frankly. But we have very little sort of reasonable, sensible education to help people cope with it in a responsible way. Do we really need to be arresting 872,000 people a year, which is what we arrest on marijuana charges, because a few people may do it irresponsibly, like a few people drink irresponsibly? I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You're most articulate. Thank you.
Well, I fake it for short periods of time.
Okay. And I also promised Jill that she would be the first caller on hour number two. So let's keep that promise. Jill, in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling KSCO. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to share with you, you had an earlier caller, Billy, I believe was his name.
Yeah, Billy in Watsonville.
He had broken his leg, a bone in his leg.
Yes.
And he was sharing that he really demonstrated the point and my belief in that he had pain that prescription medication could not alleviate, neuropathic pain.
Uh-huh.
From the broken bone.
Right.
And the marijuana did the trick. The power, to me, that demonstrates the power and potency of marijuana and the impact that it really does have on the brain. And I do oppose its legalization. I really do.
Oh, okay.
And for me, I just don't want another substance added to the list that is allowable and people are driving. And it's not just a few people doing this. Mm-hmm. Just because people use prescription medication and drive when they shouldn't.
Yes.
You know, to me, why add something else to the
list? And obviously you feel that if pot were legal, more people would be smoking it.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and it would. But to me, that point, he made my point. I don't think I could have spoken in more clearly that when he used the marijuana, it alleviated neuropathic pain to the brain. You know, that's telling you and demonstrating in a physical and physiological way the power and the potency of marijuana. And I think it's very much underplayed.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for – you want to ask a question?
Bruce, do you have a comment?
Oh, I've got a couple comments.
Okay.
One is that it is scientifically mistaken to confuse psychoactivity, the ability of marijuana or anything else to make you high, with relieving pain. There are specific mechanisms in the brain that regulate pain. Marijuana affects some of those. Much of that effect comes from substances in marijuana other than THC, particularly one called cannabidiol or CBD, which is not psychoactive. So these are related but not necessarily the same phenomena. The other thing is, you know, you've made an assumption, which I think a lot of people make, that, well, if it's legal, many, many more people are going to use it. In fact, the research, and there's a fair amount of literature on this, shows very little relationship between drug laws and rates of drug use. Now, there's only one industrialized country in the world where marijuana is effectively legal. That's the Netherlands. Their rate of marijuana use is less than half of ours. Their rate of use among kids under 15 is barely over one-third of ours. So the data does not suggest that if we change our laws, suddenly millions and millions of people are going to be lighting up who aren't now.
Bruce, have you been to the Netherlands?
Several times.
Okay. You know that it's just totally outrageous. And, you know, you are very articulate, but I believe you're mistaken on the studies that you're using to demonstrate your point about marijuana. I think if money was not an issue in this debate, you would not say the things that you're saying.
Oh, I was involved in this debate long before money was even, and taxation,
yes,
and any of that stuff ever came up.
It has always been about money. The money part of it has never been separate from the issue going way, way back. So money is very much entrenched with the debate and the issue of marijuana usage. But yes, you're articulate, but you're using studies that substantiate your point, as you are, you know, paid to do, and I understand that. And I just wanted an opportunity to demonstrate my point, and I do appreciate that. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Jill, for calling the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Here's Mike and Ben Lohman, who's never smoked pot. Mike, welcome to KSCO. You're on.
Thank you.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. You've never smoked pot. You're on the air. So presumably you called to tell us something, ask a question, make a point.
Well, you were calling and asking for somebody who you didn't think there was anybody out here that never smoked pot. And
I didn't think there was someone out there who didn't smoke pot and doesn't and believes that marijuana should continue to be legal, continue to be illegal.
Well, that's me.
Okay. So tell us why. Thanks for calling.
Well, I've never smoked anything. I'm 70 years old, and I've been around it a lot because of my job. And
what is that? What is your job? Or can you share it with us without saying where?
I'm a retired firefighter.
Oh, okay. Great. So ooh. Wow. Now that would have me concerned a little bit, I guess. If someone who was fighting a fire has to be, it's got to be really alert and really with it.
Well, yeah, you're right there, but it wasn't because I was a firefighter that I wasn't smoking pot. I just thought it was wrong. I didn't need it. And incidentally, my wife has never smoked pot either, and we're both in our 70s.
Right. Okay, so the whole idea about the tax revenues that could be raised by legalizing something that's being done pretty much by anybody who wants to do it anyhow is not attractive to you?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, it's considered illegal. I have experienced a number of calls in my career dealing with people who are under influences of all kinds of drugs, and pot being one of them,
uh-huh.
And questioning them and talking to them and trying to find out what the problem is, every single one, without a doubt, started with pot.
And okay, so you believe in the gateway drug concept then, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So did you ask those folks if they had started with alcohol or tobacco? Because the data shows actually that those are the most common, quote-unquote, gateway drugs.
I didn't ask that question. It was obvious that they are on different kinds of drugs, and just part of my routine when I would try to treat them or take care of them, I would ask them, you know, if they ever started their drug career with pot, and without a doubt, they did. And it also, my two children, I battled it. That all through their teenage years, trying to keep them from taking pot, and was unsuccessful at it.
Did you say you were not successful?
Not successful nowadays.
How'd your kids turn out, and how old are they now?
My one son was murdered.
Oh.
Due to he thought he was smarter than the drug dealers themselves, and he was working with the DEA to turn in drug smugglers down in Quartzsite, Arizona. And one day they found out about it and shot him.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
And my daughter, he was 35 when that happened. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, just 5 years ago, died of breast cancer. And it was, in my mind, attributed to the fact that she was taking and had taken and started with marijuana. So I lost my two children, and I think drugs had a lot to do with it. Well, I know it did with my son.
Sure.
It's hard to even answer a circumstance as tragic as that, and I can only echo Michael just feeling terribly sorry for what happened, but there are a couple of factual things I do feel a need to try and point out here. One is that obviously prohibition did not keep your kids from trying drugs. And a case could be made, I think, very strongly that our current laws make marijuana more available to kids than it would be if it were legally regulated. We've done a much more effective job of reducing teen cigarette smoking than reducing marijuana use. According to government surveys, actually more California high school kids now smoke marijuana than cigarettes. Cigarettes are regulated. We can put the tobacco merchants out of business when they sell to kids. As far as the cancer situation, there's actually research going back to the mid-1970s that shows that THC, the component of marijuana that makes you high, and a number of the other components are actually relatively potent anti-cancer drugs. There is no evidence that marijuana smokers have higher rates of cancer. In fact, most of the studies have found no difference at all. And there is research going on now, mostly in Europe, into some of these components as anti-cancer drugs because they seem to be quite effective.
Well, that's what you say, and I'd have to see the proof of that.
Write to me, bruce@mpp.org. I'll send you the studies.
Okay, Mike, we're so sorry about what happened, and thanks you very much for calling the Saturday special.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next caller, Lane in Corralitos. Lane, welcome to KSCO. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Mike. I've never smoked marijuana. I'm in my late 60s. I've seen a lot of tragedy with it. You know, just one body bag. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
And that's bull about this not being carcinogenic.
So what happened? I mean, what did you say, one body bag? Tell us a little bit about
that.
The
drug is adulterated quite easily. You put a lot of the opiates will mix very nicely into the mixture. And if you believe that actually smoking isn't carcinogenic, why the heck does it cause cancer?
Okay, there's two issues here. First of all, the first problem that you raised, adulteration, is not a problem with marijuana. It's a problem with prohibition. There's a reason, again, that you don't generally see adulterated cigarettes or adulterated beer. Those products are legally regulated and controlled. The people who make them and sell them are licensed. They have standards they have to follow. So if you want to protect against contamination or adulteration, which absolutely everybody does, legal regulation is the only way to do that. Again, as far as marijuana goes, the largest, most well-controlled studies, including a 65,000-patient, 10-year study at Kaiser Permanente in Oakland, a several-thousand-patient study out of UCLA in Los Angeles, Dr. Donald Tashkin, have consistently found that there is no association between marijuana use and higher rates of cancer, very different than tobacco. And the reason, again, is because, A, marijuana does not contain nicotine, which does a lot of the damage in tobacco, and it does contain chemicals that suppress cancer. Now, another thing that you need to know is that the smoking issue is solved very easily for marijuana users who are concerned about their lungs, and certainly smoke of any sort is bad for your lungs. You can have a higher risk of bronchitis and any number of things from any kind of smoke. You can use what's called a vaporizer. There's a number of different devices available. And eliminate all of the toxic combustion products in smoke. So this is a completely solvable problem.
Okay. Lane,
Look, I could believe all that. That sounds good. I had a license for marijuana leaves. I still have a license that probably I can prescribe the stuff. I find it rather incredible to actually believe that I would use this to treat cancer when there are fine, other chemotherapies available. I mean, it might sound like a wonderful thing, but I don't think the research is there to support that. I've never heard of it used in chemotherapy other than just...
Well, I think it's for treating pain.
Yeah, treat pain, and that's more psychogenic than it is anything else. But you wanted to know if there was somebody that was vehemently or adamantly against the legalization of marijuana, and I am. I think it was illegal for a good reason. I believe that it should continue on. And the reality of it is that I've seen it adulterated. It will be adulterated with tobacco, because if you make it commercial, the best thing to mix with it is nicotine to make it addictive. And we know that tobacco has become more and more addictive as time has gone by, because the commercial aspects of it are money. And I believe Jill was right, and I believe our last caller was right, that there are many things about it that leave one to believe that down the road, children and other people will be exposed to it, might get into more trouble. And I don't see any reason to culturally begin to believe that we're like the Netherlands. That's a whole country about the size of New Jersey. A very mild thing to tell you about that was they quit selling it legally in parts of Copenhagen because of the drug lords that moved in and started to scam other drugs. It's a false belief that we're going to turn into Netherlands. Heck, our village is as big as Netherlands. Come on. But I wanted you to know this, and I unfortunately have actually talked to medical examiners who test for this stuff down to the nanogram. They were doing this in the military to find out who was taking drugs, and it does affect performance. So, it's just like any other mind-altering drug. It should be controlled, and I don't believe that it's unbelievable that doctors can control it and use it properly. If they see side effects, they can treat for them or not give the drug or discontinue or whatever. But I don't believe that willy-nilly just making it legal is the best thing to do. And, I'll take my answer and the rebut on the air.
Okay, Lane, we really appreciate your perspective, and thanks for calling KSCO.
Thank you.
Any quick response to that before we go to our next caller, Don in SoCal?
Just a quick response is I absolutely agree that it should be controlled. The system we have now guarantee that marijuana is completely uncontrolled. That's the problem.
Okay, Don in SoCal, your turn. You're on the air on KSCO.
Okay, I never smoked pot, 70 years old. I've seen the effects pot has had on people. I worked for 10 years as a coordinator of the activities at People's Park in Berkeley. And I've never seen so many people. I never smoked it myself, but I think I had enough secondhand smoke there that I probably could have smoked it.
Right.
But I've saw too many of these people. The street people were there, and when they would smoke pot, they would become uninhibited, and they would do all kinds of weird stuff. They would start fights. They would throw things. They would get into pushing and shoving matches.
I'm sure you're not talking about alcohol, huh? Because I've never observed that from people who are on pot.
No, I'm talking about pot.
Okay.
There is a lot of research on the behavioral effects of various drugs, and it's really consistent that marijuana is not something that makes people aggressive or
at
violent.
All, yeah.
Now,
really,
you know,
surprised to hear Don say that.
And you may be, the other thing to bear in mind is that you're not necessarily seeing anything like a representative sample of marijuana users at People's Park. Most of the people who smoke marijuana, like most of the people who drink, are your neighbor, your doctor, your lawyer, your barber, your accountant, your plumber.
Well, the thing is, because I worked in government, I would see employees after they've gone to lunch and have a toke. They just couldn't focus in the afternoon on their job. They were kind of all over the place. You'd start talking to them, and they would kind of drift off to something else and get offline. And it just seemed to me that it caused more problems for them. Several of them lost their job because of it.
Right. Okay. Well, Don, thanks very much for calling the Saturday Special, where the phone number is 479-1080. And we are giving first preference to new callers, first-time callers today, making it sort of a fresher program, not to give any kind of black eye to our regular callers. We love them. We just want to have a little fresher program, see if we can give others a chance to speak. And it looks like just about – it looks like every caller on the phone – everyone waiting is a regular caller, it looks like. Well, no, that's not true. Here, you know, there one just hung up. I think I might have insulted somebody. Didn't mean to do that. give us a call at 479-1080, particularly if you're a fresh new caller. That's who we want to give priority to today and who we will be doing on a much more consistent basis on the radio station. That's why our audience is going way up, in my opinion, since we've been doing that on the weekdays, and now we're going to start doing it on the weekends. So, Nikki, I believe we have this set of commercials for this hour. Am I right? And I think we should go ahead and do that now. And we will be back in just a few moments after this commercial break, and we've got a whole lot of emails to read here. So stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California. There's a lot more ahead on the KSCO Saturday Legalized Pot Special. Take care.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. If the going is getting tough for you because of mortgage payments that are going through the roof, you can get going again with the help of One Modification Services. Hello, I'm Joe Ganoff, Chief Operating Officer of One Modification Services here in the Monterey Bay area. If you are struggling with mortgage payments, missing them altogether, or on the road to foreclosure, get help with a loan modification from One Modification Services. Loan modifications are difficult, time-consuming, and not everyone can qualify. So don't be fooled by important-sounding company names and guaranteed success from someone out of the area. One Modification Services is a local company licensed by the California Department of Real Estate. Our attorneys can help you get back on track by renegotiating your loan to payments you can live with permanently, and you pay only for services actually received. Stop suffering from mortgage payments you can't make. Contact One Modification Services toll-free at 877-856-2688 for a free, no-obligation consultation, or visit us on the web at onemodificationservices.com.
California Department of Real Estate Broker License Number 01861261.
It's time to dine in a redwood paradise. Take the short drive through the woods to the beautiful San Lorenzo Valley, where the trees are tall, the sky blue, the pace slow, and the dining is pure enjoyment.
Hi, it's Rosemary here, and I wanted to tell you some more about the great breakfast and lunch spot, Spanky's. I go to Spanky's all the time, and I have to just say how amazingly accommodating they are.
Hey, don't tell them about the pork cutlets.
I told you before, everything is homemade there. There's soups, there's salad dressings, there's stews, all of that sort of thing. But let's say you want spinach on your eggs, Benedict, instead of the ham. No problem. I'm an early bird, and so I get there pretty early, and I know that Doug Winfrey gets to Spanky's pretty often as well, you know.
Hey, don't tell him about the pork cutlets.
Don't worry about it, because they serve both breakfast and lunch until 1:30. Spanky's is located at 9520 Highway 9 in downtown Ben Lomond, 336-8949.
Dine in a redwood paradise. Take the short drive to San Lorenzo Valley and enjoy.
People often ask, how does Palace Art and Office Supply manage to stay in business for so many years? Hi, I'm Roy Trowbridge of the family-owned Palace Art and Office Supply.
By giving our customers what they want. Hello, I'm Frank Trowbridge. And how do we know what they want?
We ask them. I'm Gary Trowbridge. Listen to some of the great prices Palace has that you, our customers, have asked for.
Selected artist brushes for oils, acrylics, and watercolors, 40% off. 100% recycled copy printer paper, only $5.99 per ream. Traveling with the kids this summer? Be creative. Palace has a great selection of art kits for kids of all ages for under $5.
If we don't have something in stock, we'd love to get it for you.
All you have to do is stop by or call and ask.
And that's how we hope to serve you for another 60 years at Palace Art and Office Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and on 41st Avenue in Capitola.
Palace Art and Office Supply is a proud member of the Think Local First business community.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
Why did the guy have to die for us to realize and remember what fabulous music he put out? Particularly this one. Thriller is the big one that everybody's playing, right?
Yeah, Thriller.
Billie Jean was just...
Billie Jean's classic. It's so fun.
That's just great.
It really is.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Thank you, Nikki, for playing that great bumper music with Michael Jackson and Billie Jean. And next caller is going to be not-so-regular Scott in Santa Cruz. Scott, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, yes, sir, MG. I'm calling in regards. Is this conversation about making medical marijuana legal or just making it legal?
No, just general legalization and taxing the hell out of it to bring in some money to the state.
That's fine. And, you know, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but it's still going to be a cash and carry deal. I mean, the people that are growing it now aren't going to stop. regardless. And let me qualify myself a little bit. I take full responsibility for my actions, okay? This is not a cop-out, but...
Well, you're like most KSCO listeners. Thank you.
Okay. I personally smoked weed from probably 1970 to 1990 every day. I've owned giant pot farms, up to 360 acres. I farmed inside. I farmed outside. I've been indicted by the street four times for pot charges, and I also was a drug smuggler from Thailand and South America. Okay, and it was all pot. So with that said, since 1990, I've been working with drug addicts and that kind of stuff. And I will tell you that I believe marijuana is a gateway drug, and 90% of the people that I work with started with pot because it's easier to get than alcohol. And I believe that keeping it illegal draws a line in the sand. And for those people that want to stay legal, they're not going to cross that line. And the people that are illegal anyways, they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
So you're in favor of keeping it the status quo, right?
Illegal, absolutely.
Okay.
I honestly
very believe, interesting perspective. I can't wait to hear what you have to say, Bruce.
I honestly believe that, like I say, through the media in the 1960s or 70s, whatever it was, you know, like when they were showing the, you know, peace, love, dope, incense, beads, flower children here growing up in Santa Cruz and all that, I honestly believe that I received bad information. And as a result of that, I started smoking weed at an early age, and I don't think I reached my full potential educationally or athletically or anything like that because of I started smoking weed. And
well, I'm assuming that you did quite well while you were doing illegal activities. Maybe when you were busted, you had.
Get this. I have been busted, but I've never been caught with a single joint in my life.
You've never been caught with what?
A single joint, a single marijuana cigarette in my life.
Well, what were you busted for?
They made me plead guilty to 50 tons. If I didn't plead guilty to 50, they're going to take me to trial for more.
I think I missed some of that here. But I'm wearing headphones that are sort of muffled here in my.
Well, maybe it's my phone, but I'm sitting in the parking lot, so I got full bars. I said, you asked me what I was busted for?
Yeah.
I said, basically, I was snitched on by some fellas.
Yeah.
And when they took me to court, they made me plead guilty to 50 tons. If I didn't plead guilty to the 50, they were going to take me to trial for more.
So what happened to you?
I went to Terminal Island Federal Prison for a while.
Wow. So you're out now. What are you doing?
I'm a sea captain.
Cool.
I've been one, like I say, I'm on drug testing now and all that, and it doesn't even bother me. But, in the old days when we were running boats, I thought they came to talk with a Budweiser can and a joint.
Right.
But, anyways, that's just my take on it, you know? I mean, like I say,
I give your take more weight than anybody else's thus far who is a proponent of keeping the status quo. But, Nikki, you were frustrated. I want you to come in. I want you to get on the air. I'm going to put I'm not going to drop not so regular Scott. I'm going to put him on hold so he can hear what you have to say. Go ahead.
I was basically just complaining that I have not heard an intelligent argument that is for keeping it illegal, that you shouldn't bunch in. You shouldn't bunch in cigarettes and alcohol and everything. I mean,
nobody has
made a point that holds true for alcohol as well. I mean, basically everyone that's against legalizing it, they need to be, because of the way they argued, they should be for alcohol illegal as well.
And I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Nobody's made an intelligent case.
No one has made. Now, we have very intelligent listeners. In fact, we don't allow people who are not intelligent to listen to KSCO. And that's by design. That's why we have such...
You just have those unintelligent people on as guests, right?
No! It's very intelligent people. We have intelligent guests and intelligent listeners. And if we catch a stupid listener, they are dealt with severely. But anyhow, so Scott, we're going to put you back on real quick for you to say.
And I would just like to note, I don't know what Nikki was doing or what the deal is, but it would appear her thought process was interrupted while she was trying to put her sentences together.
Well, that was because her cell phone was ringing, and she had to turn it. She turned around to answer it, or you know, shut it off, or something. That's all.
That's fine. I accept that.
Okay.
And the other thing is that for alcohol, I actually grew up there. My dad owned a bar. He owned it from where Kmart is now, where Santa Cruz cafe is. That used to be a topless club and a bar. My dad used to own that growing up.
Oh.
Okay. And so the point is that when you're on alcohol, you definitely know you're impaired. I mean, you know that you're screwed up. But when you're smoking weed, the impairedness is not as apparent to the user. In other words, you think you can drive a car, do whatever.
I've been smashed probably once or twice in my life, which isn't very much. I mean, on alcohol, on pot, I've been stoned considerably more than that. I was never really what I would consider a pothead, but you know, when someone offered me a joint, I'd smoke it.
I agree.
But I always knew that I was smashed on alcohol, and I always knew that I was high on dope. Always,
right.
Even when I wasn't very high on either.
That's right. But I'm just saying that the perception, you would be more apt to get in a car or do something like that stoned than you would drunk. At least that's my experience.
I
totally agree with him. You can't hear Nikki. He disagrees. She disagrees with you.
With that said, I totally agree that, you know, if you smoke a joint, it's not going to make you go up to the biggest guy in the bar and spin him around and punch him in the mouth. You know, whereas you're drunk, you're going to do some stupid stuff like that. If you're stoned, it's going to cause you to be err on the more cautious side most of the time, although it also causes you to err on the stupid side and not being aware of your surroundings as much.
Right. Okay. Scott, thanks very much for calling the Saturday special. Joe in Monterey, quickly, you're on the air.
Yeah, while I was waiting, I dropped all my papers, and as I was putting them back together, I saw one of your mother's old quotes that I wrote down. It said, everything that God does, he does for good.
Okay.
One thing, I didn't hear the whole discussion, but I don't think that legalizing pot as far as taxing it is going to help us. You know, we've had bingo, or we've had the lottery, and basically those monies that were gained from the lottery were just shifted around, and other monies that were used for other services were shifted to other things. So it didn't really solve the budget problems, but that would kind of shoot down.
Well, no one's claiming that it's going to raise more than $1 billion or $1.5 billion. And what is it, 28? You know, we're 28 in the hole now, something like that. So no one's claiming that it's going to solve the problem, but it's just a step in the right direction.
Well, no, actually, I don't think it is, because the more money that we give them, the more money that they use against good people like you, Michael, and people, business people. And so I think the less money that they have, actually, the more respectful they are to...
You know, Joe in Monterey has a point. Maybe I should change my position.
Well, you know, I'm certainly not going to be the one to sit here and claim that every dollar that California government spends is spent wisely or ways that necessarily I would agree with. On the other hand, I think there are a lot of things that government does that most people agree that it should do. Roads, schools, police, et cetera, and money for that's got to come from somewhere. And there is a problem with money in this state right now. This is a very large industry that at this point is, economically speaking, effectively off the grid, unregulated and untaxed. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that we continue to allow what is in fact California's top cash crop. You know, we produce...
It certainly is.
We produce a lot of agricultural products in this state, but marijuana is the number one, and almost nobody's paying any taxes on it. That strikes me as fundamentally unfair to the farmers growing other crops, the other business people who are paying the fair share.
Boy, you are really smooth. You are slick. You're slicker than Teflon. But how about this?
What I think is that we need people in full control of their faculties because we have slicksters in our government.
Okay, Joe, excuse me. I hear what you're saying. You must absolutely, because you're a consistent, intelligent person, you must support the concept of illegalizing alcohol. Do you?
That is a bigger fish than I can fry. I have enough trouble with convincing people of not increasing the burden and the problems on our state.
Okay. We have very few minutes left. We have quite a number of callers. I want to get to everybody possible. And I also want to read these emails that have come through. So thank you very much for calling the Saturday special. Moderator Joe, you take care now, okay? All right, this is from Gene. Won't be able to call in, but please ask your guest the following question. Gene wants to know, alcohol and tobacco both require extensive growing and manufacturing infrastructure to convert raw materials into consumable products. It's easy for a government to tax them at point of distribution or point of sale. Marijuana, however, can be grown in your backyard or window box, just like tomatoes or herbs are, and turned into a consumable with little effort or expense. Why would anyone buy packaged marijuana in a store and pay an expensive government tax when they could just inexpensively and privately grow their own? Well, I've heard you answer that already, because not every people buy tomatoes when they
right.
can.
You know, most people just don't grow their the own answer. Tomatoes or no. or basil or lettuce or whatever. And you know, I have a little vegetable garden in my backyard.
And
I grow
about
some
to have
of that
a large
stuff.
One. I'm going to have a large one.
But I still have to buy a lot of it because I'm in the city and I don't have a lot of space. Most people live busy lives, and it's more convenient for them to buy things than produce it themselves.
Right.
That's just the way our economy works.
Okay.
I do, if you'll indulge me, Michael, I want to go back to the gateway thing that somebody else
okay.
said. You know, because the people are, there's a basic logical fallacy that a lot of people adopt, which is the idea that if two things happen together or one follows the other, that A must be the cause of B. You know, if somebody smoked marijuana and then they used heroin, that the marijuana must cause that. Nonsense. This morning, it was foggy in San Francisco. I got up, I made a pot of coffee, the fog began to clear. Making coffee did not cause the fog to clear. There's
okay.
extensive research on this. Marijuana doesn't cause people to use other drugs.
Vernon says, MZ, give me a break. I'm sure there are millions of Californians that want pot legalized. And if that meant paying taxes to buy it, so be it. But I have a hard time believing that there are millions of Californians out there biting at the bit to have it legalized just so they can pay taxes on it. This is one of those so-called articulate statements that evade evidence and logic. Well, I can understand, Vernon. He's reacting to something that you said earlier. Alan says, hi, Michael. I'm 66 years old, and I smoked marijuana some in the 60s and 70s. I look around at society today, and I don't see many effects from the millions that used back then. The leaders of today were from my generation or later, and other than a considerable liberalization of political climate, I don't see the harm. I think the political part is possible in reaction to the draconian measures used to suppress drugs and especially marijuana. Definitely the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Think of the amazing amount of resources we could have for other projects if we stopped the criminalizing of users and small-time growers and used those funds to fight the real problems like gangs, illegal immigration, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks for the show, Alan from Watsonville. P.S. How about posting pictures of everyone on your website so we know who we are listening to? It's simple marketing to engage the people on a more personal level. Cheers. That's from Alan in Watsonville, one of, in fact, maybe quite possibly our most intelligent listener. Definitely one of them. So yeah, we have to deal with the with his suggestion here, and will. Now there are some of the people here who reject the idea of having their photographs on the web.
Hmm.
So what do we do with them?
I don't know. Put my photo up instead of theirs.
Okay, alrighty. That's a good way to handle that. Okay, let's see. No brainer. also from Vernon, I don't have the time to call, or I'd call to shoulder the argument against legalization of marijuana, though I really feel that people have the right to do what they wish, even if it's to their own detriment. This being said, you might want to look at some of the items from this link. Oh, we don't have time to do links. Okay, I should read these things before I read them on the air. Vernon E. Godfrey to MZ. All she says in her email is shades of Timothy Leary. That's all the email says. Ray on pot says, there is only one reason that I would support legalizing pot, and that is to take back the 10th Amendment to the Constitution and return this issue to the states. What's the 10th Amendment? Come on, Ray, you're presuming that we... Well, he has every right to presume that we're...
And we should, but I always get the 9th and 10th confused, but they have to do with essentially limiting federal authority and giving some latitude to the states.
Right. Ray also says Harry Lee Curtis, who was a host on this station in the 90s, so sad is his passing. He passed away a few years ago. As you recall, he was adamantly against legalizing pot. I don't remember that at all. I don't remember that at all. But if he says so, then if Ray says so, then I'm sure it's true. Okay, back to the phone lines now. Let's see. John in Scotts Valley. Oh, my God. John has been waiting 23 minutes and 57 seconds. You're on the air, John, in KSCO.
Well, I think people should declare themselves as soon as they get on the phone and say what their agenda is, because there are a lot of people who have no idea what they're talking about. Talking points that they've gotten somewhere or some, you know, and I see this a lot. I mean, it's like in political discourse, it seems like if you
don't
have
I hate to tell you
facts,
this, John, but there's less than 2 minutes left. There's less than 2 minutes left of the program. So.
Okay, well, I will say that I think music is a gateway drug if you look at it the way some of the people have been looking at it. I think that, you know, sex is a gateway drug. They all lead to, to exploring, you know, your body and how it exists in this universe.
But John, you are a very clever caller.
Well, I think that the biggest problem, though, is that there are a lot of people who have either never smoked or who are converts from smoking, and there's nothing worse than a convert. So, I mean, when you talk to people like that, you're not going to get any sense because they're not coming from a position of reality. They're coming from a position of their own reality. But you'll hear that they say, you, this is what you do. When you drive a car, when you're with other people, you get in fights, and they have no experience of that. They're just making it up out of whole cloth. And it's because, in reality, if you study all of the studies, some of which, maybe most of which, were done by conservative governments trying to outlaw it, you'll see that it's just not there.
Right.
You know, there's no support for it to outlaw it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling the Saturday Special and waiting as long as you did. Mary Jane. We had to get a caller named Mary Jane to this program. You're on the air, Mary Jane.
Hello.
Hi.
Marijuana, it used to be legal forever. I mean, our Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel. I know that's hemp, but hemp seed oil.
Close enough.
DuPont is the one that made it illegal because DuPont burns 80% of their profits from the sulfuric acid process that turns wood into paper.
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, I just...
So what's your position, real quick, that we don't have much time?
It should be legalized, most definitely. It never should have been illegal.
I agree with you. Okay, thank you so much. Jared in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday Special. We're already spilling into Fox News, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Yes.
Just because your name is Jared.
Yes, it is. Thank you. I'm just here to state my opinion here. I think it ought to be legalized. We the people voted it in for medical purposes. I'm proud to say that, yes, I am a medical user. I have doctor's recommendations. I am legal. I think it ought to be legalized because it will take a lot of the criminal activity out of marijuana. And, you know, I've been smoking, I started smoking pot late 60s.
Do you still?
Then I quit. I had almost 25 years away from marijuana. It didn't lead me into other drugs. a lot of times the situation I was in with tears.
Yet. It hasn't led you yet into other drugs.
Right. And in my opinion, they need to legalize marijuana, both for individuals and the state of California.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling the Saturday special. Go ahead, Nick in Royal Oaks, real quick here.
I like Furlong Friday. I don't want to jeopardize it. And listen to the song.
I don't hear the song.
Marijuana is a gateway drug. It's a consumption issue and availability.
Okay. All right.
The brewer in Shipley.
Well, thank you very much, Nick. And I want to thank you very much, Bruce Merkin, from the Marijuana Policy Project on the web at mpp.org. Thank you for driving down here, and thank you for helping us do a nice program all about marijuana.
Thank you for inviting me, Michael.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's about it, gang. Don't know what's going to happen next week, but tune in and find out here, okay? Thank you, Nikki.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here is Fox News in progress.
Hey, life's a ball, let it fall in your lap. And if you've got trouble, go take them out for a walk. They'll burst like bubbles in the fun of a Sunday in New York. Two hearts stop beating. You're both too breathless to speak. Love smiles a greeting, then the dream that has seen you through the week comes true on Sunday in New York.
Thanks for listening to Fox News Talk, and stay tuned as we continue our salute to the 50 states of freedom.
Two American security company employees have been killed in a helicopter crash in Iraq.
A spokesman for the U.S. Embassy here in Baghdad says the helicopter went down Friday on a U.S. military training ground just east of the Iraqi capital. Two crew members were killed and two other people on board were injured. None of their names have yet been released. A spokesman for the embassy says an investigation has been launched by the Department of State's Diplomatic Security Service. Helicopters are a key means of transport for many U.S. troops in Iraq, as well as the diplomatic service. In Baghdad, David Piper, Fox News Radio.
A U.S. force fighter jet went down in central Afghanistan, and the Air Force Central Command says two crew members aboard are dead. The military is not sure what caused that crash. The Air Force says it wasn't hostile fire. Seven dead, 50 wounded, including six Americans, after two bombers blew up two different hotels in Jakarta, Indonesia. And investigators are working to link the attackers to an Al-Qaeda network. Most of the wounded, including those half dozen Americans, have been airlifted to Singapore. He was the world's oldest man.
Henry Allingham lived a long life, 113 years, and lived on England's southern coast. Allingham served in both World Wars, joining the then Royal Naval Air Force in 1915. He then took part in the largest naval battle of World War I, the Battle of Jutland. In World War II, Allingham's job was to find ways to disable magnetic mines. Years later, he co-authored an autobiography and was named an officer of France's Legion of Honor. And until his death early Saturday, he was only one of two living World War I vets in Great Britain. Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
A dentist in Florida being sued for allegedly dropping his tools down the throat of an elderly patient. Twice. 90-year-old Charles Gall Jr.'s relatives have filed suit, claiming Dr. Wesley Myers is guilty of negligence. The tools in question, an implant screwdriver and a mini wrench. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I got your Central Coast forecast for today. We got mostly sunny skies, high of 78, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 58, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, cloudy early and sunny later with a high of 76. For your Monterey Bay boater forecast, we got west wind 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 feet, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds, and patchy fog. Tonight, west winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds. Slight chance of thunderstorms and fog. On Sunday, west winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds, patchy fog, and also a slight chance of thunderstorms. Current temperature 61 degrees in Monterey, 73 in Salinas, 71 in Watsonville, and we are at 63 here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO studios. The official time is 12:06 and 21 seconds on this Saturday, July 18th, 2009. Up next, we have Perspectives. Stay tuned. This is KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'll be a co-host today. Joining me in the studio to host the show, Tom Quinn, and special guest host Gary Arnold is with us today. And we have a very special guest that we'll be bringing on in just about 5 minutes. But Tom has a couple of things he wants to update us all with.
Good afternoon, folks. One of the things I hope people had a chance to look at was the article in the Good Times, which was July the 2nd. It said Extreme Makeover, California edition. And since this show is orientated along constitutional lines, I think it's a good point that Californians put pressure on their local assembly members and legislative members to get this budget under control. We don't always agree with Schwarzenegger by any means, but it's pretty apparent to anyone that they're spending more than what's coming in. For example, last year's budget was a little over $100 billion, and they've known for the last 2 years that there was declining revenues statewide because of the economic slowdown. And yet, if you look on their website, you'll see that the budget that was proposed this year is $110 billion, more or less, which is still higher, even though they have these declining.